Technori Tuesday is finally here, and we've got Seth Kravitz here live in studio. Seth, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. This is as of today, this is still your show. This is the Technori show. This is Seth's.
This is the final one, but this is the transition one. So, well, you know, passing the torch.
I appreciate this. This is amazing to have you actually on this episode, because this is we're in week two now of recording Technori's sort of podcast, and you guys did a lot of media stuff when you first started Technori. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do podcast or video or anything like that?
No, I mean, we've recorded a lot of video. We haven't done much other than we post the videos to the YouTube page.
Well, but, of course, yeah.
Aside from that, that would probably be the only, I guess, digital media we've done. Everything else was always written, and we haven't really published anything written in a couple of years.
I can't write anymore. I used to be so, yeah. Like, I felt like, I say this to myself, I felt like I was a good writer. I can't, I write like, you know, the lead, and then I start to get like, meander into some sort of written rant, and then mm-hmm. it just goes downhill from there, and then I can't publish it because I said stuff I can't publish.
Yeah, we published a lot. We published a good 300 articles or so, 350, somewhere in that range, in the course of about 2.5 years that we were active.
How many people did you have writing at the time?
Well, we had one editor who was Melissa Joy Kong, who was there for a couple years. Realistically, 20, 25 independent writers. They're all contributing at any given point. We really had anyone who was like a staff writer. Yeah. But at the beginning, at the very launch of Technori, I not only went out and conducted the interviews, but also recorded the interviews. I brought camera stuff with me, all these other things. I took photos in a professional studio that I'd set up as far as in our office. I'd mocked up a studio, and I transcribed the articles and the interviews, and then I actually wrote these long 4,000-6,000 word articles based on the transcripts, and then published that and edited it usually within 1 week. So
wow.
Each week when we launched for, I don't know, the first 4 or 5 months straight, I was conducting a long form interview, writing like a 4,000-5,000 word article, doing the principal photography and video and editing and doing all that and getting it out each week pretty consistently.
Well, for those who are curious as to whether or not you're a historian for Technori, you're not. You're the founder of Technori. Mm-hmm. And so we've got you here in studio to sort of talk about a little bit. As you mentioned, this is the transitional day for you, I guess for us. I wanted to have you kind of walk us through the journey of building Technori and sort of the insights and inspirations behind it. And then we'll get to, you know, what you learned and what, you know, will there be a day that you'll come back to Technori on stage presenting a new venture?
Well, I guess realistically, I started Technori for two reasons. One was at that moment in time, 2010, it was obvious that nobody was really playing nice in the startup community. Everyone was siloed off. No one was really kind of the concept of a rising tide raises all boats didn't seem to resonate yet with anyone. And at that exact same moment in time, a bunch of other people saw that too. So literally within a 3-month period, Technori built in Chicago, Tech Week, TechStars, and a few different organizations, we all launched within like a few months of each other. Yeah. I think everyone kind of saw that opportunity, and that was, we just wanted to fill the role of being more. At that time, we were more of a publisher, but we just kind of wanted to do storytelling.
Yeah,
we didn't really want to do coverage like news or things like that. We didn't really want to do anything that I guess was too time sensitive. We wanted to do long form, just basically storytelling. So we kind of like filled in that role, but the other half of the reason was I was lonely. I just wanted some friends. So half the reason I started Technori, you know, was to make friends. So
it's not a bad tool for making friends.
Yeah, it actually worked out really well. Made a lot of friends. So between helping out and making friends, that was pretty much it. That's all I had in mind. And it was supposed to be more of a passion project, and then it slowly morphed into a small business. It was never really intended to be that.
So what would you say, if you can think back, you've had obviously a ton of keynotes, a ton of different companies on stage. There's been ones that have been very, very successful and ones that went away immediately. What would you say was your most challenging keynote to get? Who was the person you wanted to get really bad and just like it was whatever, hell and high water to try to land that keynote?
I guess early on, to try to get very early validation that we were going to try to create a stage that was different than the other stages. We wanted speakers that were bigger names, let's say on the coasts, and just basically the idea was to show off talent on our stage that not only was local but also amazing, like national kind of like level speakers. So probably the first one would be Doug Kitlaus. He was the creator of Siri. We got him pretty early on. I kept kind of bugging him, like, please, you know, come on the
stage. Was that where Robbie Abed came into the picture, the most annoying man in the world? Robbie's like the king of like, I found somebody I want to get in touch with, and I just ping the hell out of him until he just have no choice.
Robbie's very impressive. Maybe I learned a little bit from Robbie, and he agreed to do it, and that was one of our early keynotes. So to have fifth or sixth event in, to have the founder of Siri, which at that moment in time, you know, was much closer to their actual date of acquisition. So it might seem like old news now, but at that moment in time, it was like a big deal to have the guy who just, you know, put Siri on everyone's phone, you know, on your stage talking about, he talked about 3D printing pizza, and he was talking about these things that were just these incredibly grandiose kind of moonshot ideas. And it was nice, refreshing to have it on stage because, again, in 2010, you still had a community that was just very intensely conservative and incredibly
How many people
careful.
Would attend something like attended it back then? Like, what was
Our first event, we had 225 people in the area. Second event, we had like 250. So we started off pretty quickly. Slowly at Chase, we didn't sell out our first couple at Chase. We had maybe 350 to 400 people. And then finally, I think by our fifth or sixth event, we had sold out our first show.
That's awesome.
So we had 500 and some odd people. Like, it's a lot.
Next one I'm going to ping you on is, what's your favorite, doesn't matter how big they are, favorite startup company that you've been able to interview and talk to and have them launch on your stage?
I mean, the big one that I always bring up at every show is always going to be Spot Hero, just because it's fun. Because it so happens that they were the first company to present at the first event.
Yep.
So they really were the first company ever on our stage.
It doesn't get any better than that, really, to be honest. Like, as far as the launch, you know, when I introduce Technori going forward, I'll be picking up and basically just leaving that slide in there.
Well, with Spot Hero in particular, also, their site was just, it really was just like two, maybe three people at that point. It was a terrible website. They weren't really making any money. And, it was as raw as it could get. And they weren't even a year old. They were just months old at that point. Yeah. So really it was like a launch. It was like kind of their way of getting in front of, for the first time, hundreds of their peers and saying, you know, we exist. So, to have that kind of be our first company ever at the first event. And now they've gone on to raise, you know, whatever, almost $30 million. And now they're becoming a monster and probably like will become the definitive way that you park your car in the future, as far as like how you pay for it. You know, that's kind of crazy that was like we lucked out on that one.
Yeah.
It just makes for a perfect story because it lines up with, you know, we come into existence and we just happen to have like this amazing company there. And you would never know at that time, just like with some of the companies on our stage, you don't know at the time.
I think that's part of the, allure, I think, I hope. I mean, is that you don't know the future of these companies, which is why, as you said to me when we first talked about this, when you were on the show, when it was under another name, that we don't talk about the money and we don't talk about what your projections and things are, because that information, it's not worth a story. It's dead in 30 days or 10 days or 5 days or whatever. It's got an expiration. Whereas whatever you said and heard from Spot Hero on that day, I'm guessing is probably pretty close to what they're doing today.
Yeah, I mean, really, some of the companies have changed dramatically. Spot Hero is not really one of them. They definitely were focused on, we want to make it easier to park and just pay for it and it's taken care of when you show up. Now they just do that in a much more streamlined way with much better technology, and it's much faster, easier, all that. But a lot of the companies, especially early on, we went with probably too early. We had companies up there that I think our third event, maybe the first one we ever did at Chase, there was a company that launched on stage. When I say launched, I mean their website went live, I think, an hour before they were on stage.
They signed their documents right as they were walking up on stage.
Yeah, basically, you know, I think they had to file their incorporation, you know, everything like, you know, an hour before they were on stage. So they're basically existed for the first time as an actual like live site. And the problem is, what we discovered after doing enough of those over the next 6 months, year, was that these companies would pivot so dramatically that they weren't what they were when they presented, so their videos were no longer relevant, or they went poof, and like we realized, oh well, then the story's kind of gone too. And so we decided to move it a little later, so now we focus more about a year in now. That was because of just watching so many companies just they present as one thing, and then literally 6 months later, they are fundamentally different. Yeah. Sometimes they change their names. I've had a lot of companies change their names. And so now it's more of less about like launch day, and now more of like, I don't want to say like just their we exist
party. I was going to say we like, arrived. That's you know, like, you know, if you hit the stage of Technori, I feel like that's the moment like you've arrived, ideally.
Yeah, it's just a nice way to get in front of hundreds of people, especially when like they're mostly your peers, and just say we exist, like, please use our product, use our service, whatever it is. Like, you know, this is our way of kind of doing early business development. A lot of people, I think, look at it as a way of finding customers, partners, employees, things like that. It's just a way to really nothing else like it in town where you can on a regular basis get in front of.
There's not much like this, honestly, in many states. I mean, that's sort of kind of like it's funny. I was just in Milwaukee talking to the guys at the Commons and at Marquette about Technori. And we've obviously had a Technori in Milwaukee. We'll have another one in June. June 16th, I believe. And you, in the beginning of this interview, you mentioned the fact that it was a fragmented, siloed community here in Chicago. And I don't know if you've been up to Milwaukee to talk to people there with regard to Technori, but it's like walking back in time. There's a lot of interest. There's a community of people who are working on different cool things. There's plenty of businesses around that are, you know, the kind of businesses, Harley, Johnson Controls, that would want to get involved in these tech stuff. But it's so siloed that they just literally cannot move forward. And I'm hoping that by having more Technories there that, you know, that's the excitement that Marquette had about it is, you know, if this is something that will help us tell the kids, the students, that there's something cool that you can do to change what is, and they come to the Technori event to learn about what other students and other people in Milwaukee are doing, that will promote and rise their entrepreneurship program.
Yeah, we've had a ton of people tell us that over the years that they were inspired that night at Technori to go home and get started on whatever it is, or just launch or pull the trigger on some projects, something that's been eating at them for a long time. And I think a lot of that just comes from the fact that if you read about online, TechCrunch, whatever it is, they seem like these mythical things that are like, how do they do that? How do you create a company that, of course, startups never lie to the press. They always tell, you know,
never.
You know, everything they say to the press about the features they have, the things they do, it's all true. It's all 100% true. So you get this idea of what a startup is, and then you just get to an event like Technori, and you watch from your seat, and you just see like, oh, they're just people that look like me, and they're my age or similar, and they're just people, and I can do that. So I think it destroys a lot of that idea of like this mythical kind of founder thing, and just kind of gets rid of that, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go home and get started right now, because
I can
do this. Yeah. Like, I am just like that person on
stage. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously to carry the mission that you had when you started this. I want friends also. I don't have many friends, so I want some friends. But joking aside, to continue the mission, I think what Technori has been and will continue to be, and maybe even more so become, is that place where you look at from an educational standpoint. There's an education to learning about how to start companies and what it looks like, and that it's something I can do. It's not something just totally, you know, crazy. That there's got to be an entertainment feature, and obviously, you know, storytelling is that piece, and having people on the show and making cracks and jokes and stuff, self-deprecation, that's our entertainment. And then the piece that Technori does that nobody else does like this is the experience that you can learn and read and listen and hear the journeys and stories of all these companies, and then actually come there, sit down and stage amongst, you know, 300, 400, 500 of your peers and actually experience what it is like to see a company's passion as they tell you why they're here. And I think that's a huge differentiator that, you know, all of the other different showcases pitch whatever Shark Tankians do, that this is better.
Well, what I'm excited about now is we can get back more to the storytelling part that was missing there for a while. So we can kind of come full circle on, especially the companies I present. We can learn more about them now. We can, you know, the idea of, you know, we have the radio and podcast, like just things that allow us, I think, to dive more into
much more the stories, in-depth Q&A, right? I mean, obviously, you've got the Q&A part at the end of it where you can talk about things you're working on. But to find out how you got to this stage, I think, is going to be that missing component that hopefully people find to be compelling enough to keep coming in and coming more, I hope.
I mean, Technori was also always designed to be entertaining. I mean, it's hard to – I don't think people realize – I mean, I've seen – in 6 years, I've been able to watch so many events come and go. And so many of them came in with, like, a huge flurry, like – Big launches, big missions, and things like that. And they do one event or they do two events and they fade away. And I think people realize how difficult it is to maintain event for a long time and continue to move a lot of tickets, basically to get people in seats. And like, it's so tonight is what, 57, I think. So it's our 57th Technori. And to still be able to get hundreds of people to show up every month. When half the audience is almost new every time, which is still fascinating.
That's the part. You say that every single time you come on, you ask how many people, raise your hand, whatever, that have been on here or have been to a Technori before. And it just blows me away that it's literally, sometimes it's more than that. More than half have never been to a Technori again. It's like, are they lying, or where are we finding these people?
I think, I mean, a lot of it is, the community continues to grow substantially.
Yeah.
Obviously, tech is more pervasive than ever, and it's invading every kind of industry imaginable. So everyone started to count themselves as like, oh, tech, I should get more involved with that. So there's always people coming in that are first timers, and then, I don't know, people have always just brought their friends. I mean, people bring a lot of friends, peers, things with them, I think.
And that's why you won a Twitter follower award this year, because you know, you've made all these friends through your 6 years here, and now you've got a gazillion followers.
Yeah, I made a lot of friends. I mean, I had friends before I came to Chicago, but they were in other cities. So when I came to Chicago, I had zero friends here. I noticed that. I was like, wow, I have nobody here that I know. So that was a big inspiration. Now, yes, obviously now, lots of friends. A lot of that was coffee meetings. I mean, that was always one of the things that I think people look at Technoria like, oh, it's just an event. Why this event over other events or things like that? Why do people seem to want to help out and get involved? And a lot of that was because behind the scenes, I was doing literally in a 3 year period, I did over 3,000 coffee meetings. So
I believe it.
So it's just I used to stack them up. I'd hold court at a coffee shop.
Coffee.
Yeah, a lot of coffee, a lot of beers, two mixed in there. So. You know, hold court at a coffee shop, basically. I'd have like 4 or 5 meetings in a row, and you knocked out about 3,000 in about 3 years. And that was how I was meeting everybody face to face. And it's a lot easier to get somebody involved in what you're doing, get them behind it, and, you know, get them charged up to like, be like, yes, I want to help out Technoria.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's totally, I mean, since the transition started and we announced this and the Tribune picked it up, I don't know how many emails, 100 or so different individuals have emailed me to try to reach out and schedule each one of them to meet them personally. Some I regret, some I don't. But
yeah,
but
well, of course, yes,
yeah, right.
Anytime there's a transition moment, everyone comes out of the woodwork.
Oh yeah, man, yeah. Boy, do they! But it's, you know, but it's good though. I think if you're going to do this and have a face, like the whole point of this is that it's about face to face. The reason that Technoria is so different is that yeah, you can listen to this, and there's all kinds of one-off events you can do, but there's not another one where you can go month to month to month and learn something new all the time and spend, you know, 45 minutes before the show and meet hundreds of people, literally, who are in your space or interested in your space, and you can mentor them, or maybe you can work with them or partner with them. That's the part of this that makes it really, really unique, is most of these events don't, there's a networking component, but it's kind of not really true. Whereas this is like, these are all people who chose to come here. Like, you bought a ticket and came.
Yeah. And then, because of pricing issues and everything, it's not affordable for us to have catering at Technoria. So, everyone is just standing around sober talking to each other. So I think that's one of the most fascinating things about us is there's no alcohol or food. So we get, you know, anywhere from 450 to 500 people to come out every month to an event where there's no food.
And I was told by our wonderful sponsors at Chase last week that they enjoy that because there's no food and drink in the auditorium.
Yeah, no food and drink. And then so basically, yeah, you have hundreds of people sober staring forward at a stage where your cell phone doesn't work because we're underground in a bunker.
We've got other sponsors, IT Savvy, who will be on next, who are going to be hopefully working on it.
Yeah. So you end up in an interesting situation where you really do have a captive audience that is like sober and they can't use their phone. So they have nothing to do but stare forward and watch the teams present. So there's really I can't imagine. I mean, there's other events that are similar in the country. There are other monthly showcase events, but I doubt they're all just in a bunker sober staring at the stage.
And
so it's kind of unique.
This is honestly one of the most unique ones because of that. I mean, there's. Not just because it's powerless and in a bunker with no alcohol, which sounds wonderful. It's going to be it's going
to
be tonight.
Come to Technoria. It's fantastic.
Come to Technoria.
Come to the bunker.
It's Chase Auditorium.
It's you go there for the people, and that's it. I mean, it's to experience other founders, be around them. It's very addictive to be around founders. You never hear anything along the lines of I can't or I won't or whatever. It's always like I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And, you know, it's very addictive to be around that. So it's also inspirational to be around other founders who are going through the same things you're going through. So, yeah, I think people come out for that. The rest of it was always just like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the things that other people do are for their events or a lot of the things are to try to make up for the fact that the quality of the content, everything is lacking.
Yeah.
So it's like flashy things here and look at all this other stuff and like we're just going to get everybody hammered and like.
You've got the five come on for 5 minutes. It's very succinct. It's, you know, we start on time, we end on time.
Yeah. I try to run like a theatrical production.
Yeah. And well, that I think that's probably why people have enjoyed it for so long. That and your coffee.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, it's. Well, it's been 6 years, so it was obviously a labor of love. I would have stopped a long time ago if I didn't still enjoy it. And I don't know. I mean, I'm still kind of amazed that it lasted this long because, again, I've just seen so many events come and go. So how we made it, I don't know, but it worked. And I would like to see us hit 100 shows and beyond. So
that's the goal. Well, before we let you out of here, what is one thing, the one thing that you've learned throughout this whole experience about yourself? Obviously, you learn a lot about these companies. You get to experience a lot of things. What is that internal thing that you learn, like, wow, I don't know if it's an experience or if it's just a lesson. I don't know. Something about yourself.
I guess I learned how to be a lot more empathetic towards life of a founder. You meet enough founders at the beginning of their businesses, because a lot of them reach out. They say, I want to present, or things like that. So we meet, I've just met tons and tons of very early stage founders, but it's been 6 years, so you've had enough time to watch people come and go, have businesses that were actually scaling and doing well that failed, have businesses that scaled and are still doing well and have gone on, people that have moved on to two or three different other startup attempts in the time. So at the very beginning, 2009 especially, I was pretty actively writing, and I was writing in an incredibly, like, everything should be, it sounded like Jason Fried a lot. I was like, everything should be bootstrapped, and, like, you know, I was writing in a very angry style, and I felt like I kind of knew everything about entrepreneurship. And then over the last 6 years of all these stories and meeting all these people and seeing all the different ways that a business can succeed and all the different ways that it can fall apart, and the human impact of that on the people that are doing it as the founders. I just have a very different view now on entrepreneurship through a much more human perspective. Sure. That I did not have before. And my opinions are very different than they were before I started Technori about what it takes to be a founder, and I look at it very differently myself also in the things that, you know, that I look at and work on.
Well, I lied. I have one more question for you, actually, now that I think about it. What's one piece of advice for me so I don't screw this up?
I would keep the authenticity of Technori in there. I mean, just people enjoy that we are this very this benign thing that's not trying to, like, get something from them. And I tried very hard to do that and protect that at all times, that we're just really there to help. And
you have it in the, what is it, third, fourth slide that comes on, momentum.
Yeah.
So in my plan book for how to take over, the first word I wrote on the book was momentum. So the hope is to keep that same word going. That's key.
I like it.
Me too. Well, everyone should make sure that you do check out Technori tonight. It is going to be your last time on stage, mm-hmm. until you come back with some new crazy startup that you're going
to
come up.
I would like to, if I'm ever back on stage, I want to earn the right to be back there, is the way I'm looking at it.
I think it would be amazing to have you come back that way. There's still a few tickets available, so people can go to Eventbrite or just go to technori.com, and you'll find purchase tickets for the theme tonight, which is the work of the future, which is pretty awesome. The future of work.
Future of work.
Yep, sorry, I can't read, I can't write, it's fine. But at any rate, do check it out. It's going to be great. Seth needs a big party, a big send-off, and then I want to leave you to say the where they can find you after Technori. We're going to go to Rosebud, but which one do you go to?
Well, there's two different Rosebuds, and I don't know why they built two Rosebuds next door to each other, but if you go to the wrong one, as I always say, you'll be alone, and that'll be sad. So make sure you go to Rosebud Theater District, north of the building. It's a great place. Fantastic. I think they're renovating as well, so it'll be even nicer. Oh. You'll inherit an even nicer Rosebud than
I'm
ever
getting
had.
An even nicer Rosebud. That's
cute. So I'll see you there if you come tonight. I'll be there probably very late, because I'm assuming I'm gonna be shaking a lot of hands. And
I feel like you're gonna be there for
taking a lot of
while.
Pictures and a lot of hugging and all that. Yeah,
sounds like a good time. Make sure that they don't go to the wrong Rosebud. Go to the right one. Thank you, Seth, very much for taking the time to come out today. I know it's a busy day for you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Of course. You can watch this episode and more on Advisor TV, stream this episode on the WGN Plus app, or download each episode on iTunes. Please stay connected by following us at Technori, follow me at Katoon, or follow Seth at Seth Kravitz on Twitter. And that's it. Boom, that's a wrap.